America Weekend.
The play tells a simple story. An older woman falls in love with a scheming girl that has her wrapped around her little finger. The girl takes advantage of her, squeezes everything she can out of her, then dumps her.
It's called The Real World.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Time now for this week's edition of On the Mark with Mark Leonard. This week, Mark is talking about the film Clouds of Sils Maria.
Olivier Assayas is a celebrated French director and screenwriter, and his Beautiful Summer Hours was one of my favorite films of 2009. That one starred the luminous Academy Award-winning international star Juliette Binoche, as does his latest, the mostly English-speaking Clouds of Sils Maria. She's teamed with two of our hottest young American stars in Chloe Grace Moretz and Kristen Stewart. This three-punch combination arrives on U.S. shores in 2015 after months of advanced praise while playing overseas. It even garnered Ms. Stewart a megastar from the Twilight series, the prestigious César Award for Best Supporting Actress, and I do believe that she's an underrated performer, but still, I'm not completely sold on her interpretation of the mysterious Valentine. Better, of course, is Miss Binoche as an aging film legend, being called upon to play the more mature role in a remake of a movie that made her famous 20 years earlier as the Ingenue. Also strong is the sly performance of Chloe Grace Moretz as the young American superstar pegged to star in The Update. Overall, Clouds of Sils Maria is intelligent filmmaking, if occasionally clunky, and maybe even Miss Stewart will grow on me in a future viewing. Ed, back to you.
Thanks, Mark, and don't forget, check out Mark's terrific website, all of his long-form reviews. Go to reviewedbymarkleonard.wordpress.com, and Mark will be back next week. You go to the airport. How should you dress? Do you even think about it? Is the airport a place for fashion? Do you remember back in the days of old when flying was almost this regal experience and women would be wearing their lovely gowns and dresses and men would have on just the perfect suit and their fedora would be positioned in such a lovely way, and they would sit there and they would dine in opulence? Well, nowadays, you go there and you probably didn't even shower the night before or even the morning of because you had to get to the airport so early because you have to stand on the line for 4 hours, take off your shoes. You get what I mean. There is a way, though, that every man should dress for the airport, and that way should be comfortable, but yet slightly attractive. Airports are crazy places. No one really likes spending time in them, but to get where you need to go, it's often a necessary evil. America is a big place, and flying is the most efficient way to travel long distances. Driving from Atlanta to Boston, for example, would take days instead of a few hours. You could also theoretically take Amtrak from New York City to Los Angeles. You'd never get out of the tunnel by Penn Station because the wires are 100 years old, but that's another story. But only the most ardent of train enthusiasts would be willing to try it. If you have to fly, figuring out what to wear can be difficult, too. Business suits used to be the standard, but they're much less common than they used to be. If you aren't flying for business, though, it's a little ridiculous to wear a suit. At the other end of the spectrum are the people who show up looking like they just rolled out of bed after a week with the flu. How do you find that good middle ground? First, you need to remember that no matter how long your flight is or how many connections you'll be making, airports are still public places. You're going to be around hundreds of other travelers, and there are basic standards of human decency that you owe it to them to abide by. At the most basic level, this means you should have showered within the last 12 hours. It also means at least dressing like a semi-respectable human being. Even if you're flying from Miami to Moscow, is it really that much of a hassle to wear pants? Pajama pants are comfortable, but they're also for wearing around the house, not going out in public. The same goes for sweatpants and hoodies. You don't necessarily need to wear a suit, but at least dress as well as you would to go to a doctor's appointment. We got this from CheatSheet.com, and they are exactly correct. If you look around the airport, you'll see a lot of guys wearing khaki pants and golf shirts. If you want to make it look like you fly a lot, go ahead and try that look, but it still could be considered weird by some people. No, wait a minute. I think that actually looks good. It's comfortable. Why not? If you're worried about getting cold, bringing a sweater or pullover with you is a much classier option than a hoodie. You could have gotten away with it in high school, but if you're old enough to consider yourself a man, it's probably time to leave hoodie wearing in the past. You know, that's true. When do you get to that point when you're wearing a hooded sweatshirt and it does just scream to the world you've given up? I know Mark Zuckerberg is a multi-zillionaire, and he'll be 45 years old, and he will still be wearing his $9 hooded sweatshirt. That's him, whatever. Once you go invent some ubiquitous and quite annoying social media website, then you could do the same. But you're not going to do that, so you can't. Even if you insist on wearing shorts and a t-shirt, though, you can at least wear fairly nice ones. Camouflage patterned cargo shorts and a pit-stained t-shirt with a humorous phrase on the front conveys a completely different message than flat front shorts and a solid colored v-neck. No one knows anything about the person sitting next to them, so it is polite to at least try to communicate that you're a normal, clean person. That is a really good point. If you're going to be on a coast-to-coast flight, if you're going to be spending 6 hours on a plane next to someone literally 2 inches from you, don't you at least owe it to them, and hopefully they'll owe it to you, to just come onto the plane clean. You know, these people that come on, that literally look like, okay, I just rolled out of bed. I'm flying to California. So here I am in my pajama pants. You know, when they come in and they grab the blanket and they rolled it up, and all of a sudden they look like they're creating a tent in their seat. That's very unbecoming, and it's very annoying. A large part of dressing for the airport is making sure you get through security smoothly. You especially don't want to be that guy who backs up the line and potentially makes someone miss their flight because you weren't prepared or because you looked like trouble. Instead of wearing shoes that you will have to untie and then retie, wear ones you can easily slip into and out of. Loafers and boat shoes are great for this. If you wear your Sperry's, you'll be able to get them off and on without a problem. Make sure you wear socks, though, because walking through security barefoot is quite disgusting. And that's another point, too. You ever take a good look at the carpeting in an airport? Eesh. And if you're standing over by the TSA where you got to take off your shoes, everybody else has been standing there without shoes on, so think about what's living in that rug. See what I mean? You don't want to wait. Yes, I know you're going to be there for a couple of minutes with no shoes on, but you think happy thoughts and you think clean thoughts, and you limit the amount of time your foot has to touch said carpeting. You may also want to make sure you don't have any jewelry on, change in your pockets, or any other metal on your body that will slow you down. Belts and watches can easily be taken off and dropped into the tray, but trying to wrangle about $5 worth of pennies and nickels back into your pocket will be a nightmare and quite annoying for the people behind you. It's also probably best to leave your sunglasses in your carry-on. They might be useful after you land, but you're going to be inside for the next several hours while you're in the airport. You don't really need them unless you want to look like a superstar and you're not. And you especially don't need to wear them inside, see? Finally, if you're wearing contacts, you should wear your regular glasses instead. Contacts do have a habit of drying out and irritating your eyes, and wearing them adds unnecessary complications to your flight. Besides, who wants to show up anywhere both smelling like the airplane and with bloodshot eyes? You know, that it's true. When you get off the plane, there's like that funk that goes with you for a while. You know what I mean. You get into the... Next time you get on a plane, all right, it's your turn to board. You walk on. Good afternoon, sir. Oh, hi. Do a little sniff test. Yeah, it's not as bad as a cab, but yeah, there's an airplane smell, and it goes with you when you get to your destination. If you take a little time to think ahead, dressing for the airport isn't terribly difficult. It pays to plan for the security line and to put a little extra effort into what you wear. But there's also no reason to spend an hour picking out your wardrobe. Show up clean and put together, treat people well, grab a pre-flight drink, and you're sure to have a smooth flight. So there you go. It's not just in the airport now where it's very frustrating with security. In New York City, go to a baseball stadium or go to a basketball or a hockey game, okay? You go to Madison Square Garden, all of a sudden you feel as if you're trying to cross the border into a different country because of the level of security. Stand there, sir, open your arms, and they wand you down. If anything goes off, all of a sudden, the guy who is taking care of you is joined by this other guy, and they come over, and you're told to empty your pockets. So here I go, my keys, my little thing of hand sanitizer, and they look at me funny. I'm sorry, that's the way I am. My change, my wallet, the whole thing, my phone. There was a time I went once, it was to Yankee Stadium. This was about maybe 8-9 years ago. You had to take out your phone and you had to turn it on to make sure that it was an operating cell phone and not just some sort of decoy for some reason, which really slowed down the security line. You had to prove to them that the phone could make a phone call, which is really weird and makes you wonder what they had in the back of their minds or what they were tipped off to what might have happened, but obviously it never did. But still, a little bit unsettling to just get into a baseball stadium. Anyway, what's not unsettling is the need to stay fit and the need to stay healthy. Let's say you don't go to games. Let's say you don't go to the airport. Let's say you don't go anywhere. If you've been lounging on the couch, or if you're just one of those weekend warriors, you may end up sidelined with an injury. That's not good. Well, ACE certified trainer Lisa Ritchie talks about it in this week's Fit in a Minute.
Always see your healthcare professional for a clean bill of health and approval before starting any new exercise program, especially if you've suffered previous injuries, have a medical condition, or haven't exercised in at least 3 months. Don't neglect your warm-up and cool-down. Walk a bit before starting your run or pedal at an easier resistance. Stretch all your major muscle groups after you cool down. Wear the appropriate protective gear and equipment for your sport and make sure it fits properly. Start slowly. It's best to gradually increase your activity level by no more than 10% each week. Cross-train, mix up your routine with a variety of activities so your body is constantly challenged and you're using different muscle groups. Tennis, running, golf, volleyball all require repetitive movements that can cause damage to muscles and tendons if you're not properly prepared. Develop a program that trains the muscles you'll be using. Good form is crucial for injury prevention. I'm ACE-certified personal trainer Lisa Ritchie, and that's your Fit in a Minute. Back to you, Ed.
Thanks, Lisa. And this is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.